Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15, we have a very important account in the Bible. And we read in 1 Samuel 15 verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now when we think hearken, we sometimes see that word hear, and we miss the point. Means obey. Obey. And the Lord of hosts said, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. And here are these 2 million people coming up from Egypt, slaves, men, women, children, just helpless beings, and the people of God. And Amalek, the enemy of God, and the enemy of the people of God, took advantage of poor innocence and sought to slay them. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Spare them not. And so, of course, the Bible tells us that, verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites. Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose in the morning to meet, rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on, gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, And blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the howling of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and of others destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. In Gilgal, Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Well, what about obedience? What about obedience? Seems to be, in some cases, quite a rarity. And in fact, many among even God's people, it can become a rarity. Obedience. We have a clear picture of what God thinks about disobedience in this passage of Scripture. Now, as we look here, there's a lot of truths that we can think about. But first of all, we see different kinds of obedience. God expected complete obedience. God expects complete obedience. That's what the text teaches us. There is such a thing as complete obedience. Doing explicitly what God says to do. Period. Completely. That's what God expects. And we also see, though, there is such a thing as incomplete obedience. And, of course, that was Saul. He said, can you imagine it? Saul said to Samuel, verse 20, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Lie. Lie. Big fat lie. You see, the Bible tells us that incomplete obedience is the same as rebellion. When someone knows what they are told to do, but they do it their way, incomplete obedience is rebellion. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. You know, here's pious Saul saying, I obeyed the Lord. I just did it my way. God says it's not obedience, it's rebellion. We don't like that, do we? We don't like it. We don't like what God says. But that's what God says. Incomplete obedience. Well, man, Saul did a lot. He killed all the ugly sheep and all the ugly cattle and all the lame cattle and all the sick cattle. But he kept the best. You know, we see there are excuses for disobedience are not acceptable to God. Now notice he had a spiritual excuse. He said, we've saved the best to sacrifice unto the Lord. Did God accept it? How many think God said it was okay? Well, I had a good spiritual reason to disobey the Lord. Well, then he had people excuses. He said the people did it. The people, they saved the best. God, how many think that was a good enough excuse? You know, my friends put a lot of pressure on me. You know, I know I'm supposed to sit in the first half of the church. I'm in the academy, but my friend said, hey, come on, sit back here. Is it acceptable to God? No. Excuses. But, you know, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we find a very interesting truth. We find that this pious, incomplete obedience is rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. Verse 17. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. What is he implying? Well, the fact is, Saul, you became king when you were little in the sight of the Lord, but now you are a big shot. Now you're smarter than God. Now you're smarter than obeying. Tells us that the root of this disobedience is just plain old pride. Pride. Now, you know, we always have good excuses. Well, my dad didn't say it exactly right. And he didn't say it exactly right. That gives me the excuse to do it my way. You know, the guy told me to do that. He's got a black spot on his shoe. Anybody with a black spot on their shoe, I'm not obeying them. You know what I mean? You know, it's just pride. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Incomplete obedience is rooted in pride. But you know, the Bible also says there are serious consequences to incomplete obedience. There are serious consequences to incomplete obedience. What does the Bible say? Look at verse 28. Samuel said to him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine, for he, that is better than thou. We read it earlier, verse 11. The Lord says, it repents me that I have set Saul to be a king, for he has returned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. God says, it made me change my mind. Made me change my mind about Saul. He's not going to be the king anymore. He's going to lose the kingdom. I can't trust a man who won't obey. I can't use a man that won't obey. Not usable. There are serious spiritual consequences to incomplete obedience. And the Bible ranks it as the bottom of the sins in the sense of badness. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So what are you saying? Well, you know, to obey, but then to obey my way is admitting you know what God said for you to do, but you chose to do what you wanted to do and do it your way. God says that's just plain rebellion. Now, we don't like that. But you know, when God gives his opinion about something, we better take note. You know? The Bible's given us his opinion of this. And we better forget about what our opinion is. And we better figure out what God's opinion is. Because that's what counts. Rebellion. Not only rebellion, but he says it's witchcraft. I mean, that's now real serious, isn't it? Witchcraft. Who? That's really at the bottom of the barrel. You know what, though? It's not so bad. Nah. Let's not make a big deal of this. You know, it's what's in your heart that counts. That's all that counts. What's in your heart? Yeah, you know what was in Saul's heart? Samuel, I tell you what we're doing. We are worshiping God. We are worshiping God. Samuel says, rebellion. That's what he says. Oh, it's just what's in your heart. No. The facts. The facts tell what the heart is. Not what someone says is in their heart. Now, you know, you think about this. Isn't it amazing that unless someone gets a demerit for something, they don't obey? Unless there's some kind of penalty that has to be come with disobedience, that's the only reason they obey. Because there's some negative result of not obeying. You know, obedience is a spirit. Obedience is a spirit. It's the spirit of the heart. You know, I thought it'd be good for us just to look at some New Testament references about this whole idea of the spirit of obedience. Let's first of all start with Romans 6. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You know, it kind of gives us the root spirit of repentance. You know, we find that in the Apostle Paul when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know, the Bible is, you have obeyed from the heart. You know, sin is disobedience. And repentance is a change of mind about disobedience. Repentance says, I want to obey. Now we know there has to be a new birth in order to have the power to obey. But repentance says, I want to obey. It's the spirit of salvation. I want to obey. Turn with me to 1 John 2. It tells us that obedience is the very root of the genetics of the new birth. Verse 3, 1 John 2, 3, and hereby we do know. We do know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Yeah. I can't believe that God would love me so much. I can't believe that God would love me so much that He would save me, a rotten sinner, and forgive me. I want to obey Him. He is worthy. Now, yeah, we fall short. And there's a war within our soul. Even Apostle Paul talked about it. There's a war within our soul. But you know what? The spirit of salvation is the spirit of obedience. It's a spirit of obedience. And thank God, God has given us the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it tells us the three characteristics that ends with ing, characteristics are the results of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 9, speaking. Verse 20, giving, ing. Verse 21, submitting. Submitting. You know, submitting. Putting yourself under. Putting yourself under. Yeah, children, putting themselves under their parents. Wives, submitting themselves to their husbands. Husbands, submitting themselves to the needs of their family. Submitting. Coming under, the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the very spirit of the New Testament, spirit of Christianity, the spirit of the Bible, the spirit of the people of God. The spirit of those that God can use is a spirit of obedience. You know, we do live in unique days. We would have to, if we understand the Bible, we have to understand that there is something in the air. Now, there's also something in the flesh. I like what it says in Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh cannot submit to God. We are born with a streak of rebellion. The flesh will not submit. I remember a pastor one time. Who basically said, you know, if this other church is going to try to exercise any discipline on these people, I'm going to do the opposite. I was shocked. And it's almost like the guy says, if you say jump, I'm going to sit. You know why? We have a sinful heart. We have a sinful heart. But you know, everything God did in salvation is to change that. Everything about salvation is to change that. You know, we live in days in which rebellion is in the air. You know, if you study, and most of you are very familiar with 2 Timothy 3, know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, etc., etc. Yeah, it's in the air. Rebellion is in the air. Can you imagine young ladies being rebellious? Ladies, sweet, precious, young ladies, rebellious? How could it be? It's in the air. And not only is it in the air, but you know what? We live in a day in which people are proud of it. They're proud of it. It's everywhere. You know, Christianity stands in direct contrast to the spirit of this age. Amen? Young person, God wants to do something in your life. And the root of it is called obedience. Because, you know, every child grows up, and you know what? Every child grows up and they become an adult. And guess what? If we didn't lick it when we were kids, when we were adults, we will have a hard time obeying. We will bristle under authority. Worse than that, we'll bristle under God's word by doing it our way. Doing it our way. You know, there's a couple applications. What about the Bible? I just heard a tape by Dr. Van Gelderen Sr. And it was about the family. I'll try to make this short. He said, you know, there's only a couple passages in the Bible about the family, about husbands and wives. You know, it's not a lot about, you know, the role of wife and the role of husband and obedience and reverence and respect and leadership and sacrifice. He said, you know, there's only a couple of verses in the Bible. He says, you know, but, you know, those couple verses in the Bible nowadays, we got to preach them about 300 different times or 300 different ways. We got to package them in all sorts of different packages. And the reason is because people don't obey what it says. They don't obey what it says. And so then you got to put in all these other packages to preach the same thing over and over again so people will simply do what the Bible says. Why? Because we have a problem with obedience to God. That's what we have a real problem with. And you know what? If we have trouble with obedience to God, let me ask you a question. This is simple deduction. No wonder we have such a hard time, people, students, parents, obeying just simple rules. Rules in a book, a handbook, or whatever it is. I mean, it's obvious. If we have trouble obeying God, we're certainly going to have trouble following some handbook, right? Pretty simple. But you know, the two are related. The two are related. We ought to have a tender conscience in even obeying man's rules. Because our spirit of obedience is revealed. Our spirit of obedience to God is revealed many times in our willingness to submit to man's rules. Because we can be like Saul and we have this pious attitude that we're doing fine when we really aren't. Because, you know, you can't see God. You know what I mean? God's not going to come knocking on our door and say, hey, 5 demerits. He doesn't do that. And so even such simple things as that. And of course, moms and dads have lots of rules. And those rules are good. Usually you don't have to have a lot of rules if you have obedient children. But if you have disobedient children, you got to have a lot of rules. You know, we need to ask God to give us a spirit of obedience. It probably starts with asking God to give us a spirit of humility. And it should be within the framework that who is God going to use? Who's God going to use the most? He's going to use the person that he can trust to obey. That's who he's going to use. And so it's a very simple but very important truth for all of us. And maybe as we close the service, we need to ask ourselves, you know, do I have a spirit of obedience? Do I have the spirit of pride that always kind of reinvents everything, interprets it the way I want it to be, always excuses why I shouldn't do it that way? You know, do we really look at incomplete obedience as rebellion? Or do we just excuse it? You know, these are simple but serious truths, aren't they? God, give me a heart to obey. God, give me a heart to obey. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that the Word of God is clear. It just cuts across all the clouds, all the sham, all the cover-up. And it gets right down to our spirit. Will we submit to God? Will we submit to you and do it your way? Will reinvent the Bible? Do we bristle at rules? Or have we gotten the grace, the enjoyment of obedience, and the blessing that comes from it? Lord, very important truth, I pray that even now that you'd work in our hearts, heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart. I guess God's definitely spoken my heart tonight about obedience. Complete, not incomplete. Maybe you're on one side and you say, you know, I bristle at obeying. Are you saved? Are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you walking in the flesh? You say, you know, I used to have a spirit of obedience. But my friends maybe have influenced you. Maybe have gotten away from the Lord. Now you don't have that spirit of obedience. God is speaking to your heart about it. Maybe you're a brand new Christian and the Lord is saying, you know what? The best thing you could ever do is learn to obey. So you can find out God's blessings and you can be in the center of His will. It only can be found by obedience. Wherever you might be tonight, the Lord is speaking to your heart and you say, you know what? There is a definite response I need to make tonight. And by an uplifted hand, I'm saying, yes, Lord. And saying, Pastor, please pray for me. Anyone here tonight? All right, praise the Lord. Good. Anyone else? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, good. Lord, we rejoice in the ability to respond to you, pray you'd bless these important decisions. And Lord, where there are decisions that yet need to be made, I pray your Holy Spirit will give no rest or peace, but it would still produce its fruit in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to prayer.